Hi, my name is Emily Chadbourne, and welcome to Unashamedly Human, the podcast, where we explore how we can better understand our thoughts, feelings, and actions, change our results, and feel less alone as we navigate that crazy thing called life. This show is sponsored by absolutely bloody nobody because, well, no one is willing to pay me for this shit yet. But I am a huge believer in supporting other small businesses that I love and fellow entrepreneurs who, like me, are trying to make the world a better place. So if you hear me recommend or promote other coaches, products or services, please know that it's not an ad. I just want to share the love. Also, though, if you did want to sponsor me, I would completely be okay with that. So you could email me at info@emilychadbourne.com. Do Chanel sponsor podcasts? Hello and welcome to Unashamedly Human, the podcast. This is episode 7. I am your host, Emily Chadbourne. And I just want to say a massive thank you to everybody who's taken the time to rate and review Unashamedly Human over on iTunes. It really helps other people find, consume, and love this content. And if I'm going to be honest, it makes me feel good when you review it. A couple of things that I just want to add on accepting feedback. Please keep your feedback coming. There's a beautiful line from Brené Brown's latest book, Dare to Lead, which says, mastery requires feedback. And so I am always looking for feedback. I'm aware that I haven't mastered podcasting. I'm aware that a few of these episodes probably sound a bit overly produced or a little bit clunky or a little bit waffly. But the more I do them and the more feedback I accept, the better I will get. So please keep your feedback coming. Either PM me over Facebook, feel free to DM me on Instagram, Emily_thatcrazythingcalledlife, or send an email to me and my team, info@emilychadbourne.com. A really quick word on constructive criticism. I don't just want to hear the things that you love, although I do love hearing what you love about this podcast. It means that I can produce more of it, but I am very open to critical feedback. Please make sure it's kind, and please make sure it's relevant, and please make sure it's resourceful. And one of the best ways, I think, to be able to gauge that for yourself is to ask yourself, would I say this to Emily's face if I saw her on the street? And if you wouldn't, then potentially what you're about to say is unkind. Don't write it. I don't need to be trolled. You don't need to tell me that you don't like my voice, because quite frankly, you can fuck off. So if it's constructive, bring it on. If it's not, fucking check yourself. Okay, moving on. A couple of episodes that people have really liked in terms of feedback that's been coming in. The first was episode 4, which is where I tell my story about how I ended up becoming a mindset coach, how I ended up working for myself, how I got myself out of my kind of dead-end job of waiting tables at the age of 33. And it does involve me vomiting in my own hair. And I think the reason that people love this episode is because I really lay bare this idea of being unashamedly human. You know, I'm not sitting here pretending that I've got all of my shit together. I'm not sitting here trying to be the living demonstration of being right or getting it right or having my shit together. I'm really open and really honest that I am, like everybody else, trying to work out how to be the best human that I can be and how to get the results that I want to get. And sometimes I get that really, really wrong. And so I think what people really resonated with in episode 4 was this idea of finding themselves at a point in life where they were like, holy fuck, how did this happen? What am I going to do from here on in? I refuse to tolerate this anymore. I know I need to be the change that I want to see in my life. And I think that's why people really resonate with that episode. So if you haven't heard it yet, go ahead and give episode 4 a listen. The other one that people are really enjoying is the Queendom model, which comes in episode 2. And the Queendom model is something that I actually teach my VIP clients through Next Level Results, that my sort of signature 6-month program, my coaching program. And the Queendom model gives a really great framework to be able to make decisions quickly, clearly, decisively, without the fear of judgment from other people. And, you know, I see time and time and time again, women who don't go for their dreams, they don't go for what they want, they don't speak their truth, they don't stand in their power because they're so scared of other people's judgments. They are so battered around by what other people think. They feel like they have to make decisions based on what other people are what other people believe will make them happy. And it's a very constrictive way to be. And if you are living in constriction, it's impossible to attract abundance. So loads of people loving that episode. Get your ears around it. Episode 2, I explained the Queendom model. And like I say, that is something that I teach in depth to the clients who run through my signature coaching program, Next Level Results. So today I want to talk about a beautiful little book that I read. I read it in maybe an hour. It's only a short book. I'll link it in the show notes. It's by Abby Wambach. Wambach? Wambach? Sorry, Abby, definitely probably pronounced your name wrong there. It's called Wolfpack. And for those of you who don't know, Abby Wambach was a footballer, female footballer in the US. And after she retired from football, she sat down and wrote this book on leadership and confidence and sisterhood. And it's such a beautiful read. And in it, she details, I think there's 8 of them. Let me just double check that. Yeah, she details 8 lessons that she has learned through being on the football team. And I'm not going to go through all of them now, but I do just want to pick out a couple for you that really resonated with me. The first one that I really loved, that really kind of like touched my soul and made me sort of put the book down and stare out the window and contemplate for a while, was lesson 3, which is lead from the bench. In this chapter, she talks about how she was benched in her last season playing for the US women's national team for the World Cup Championship. She knew it was going to be her last season and had to really sort of get over her ego when she found out that she was going to start the game from the bench and not on the pitch. She says, imagine this. You scored more international goals in your sport than any human being on the planet. You've co-captained and led Team USA to victory after victory for the past decade. And you and your coach sit down and decide together that you won't be a starter for the remainder of your final World Cup. Instead, you'll come off the bench. This was hard to accept as Abby Wambach, co-captain of Team USA. It was even harder to accept as Abby, the competitive kid who dreamt of finishing her career the way she played it, leading her team to victory on the field. And she then goes on to explain how actually this was one of her greatest lessons. She had to make a choice. She had to make a decision, sit on the bench and sulk, or be the leader that she has always been, even though she's leading from the bench. She goes on to write, you'll feel benched sometimes too. You'll find yourself taken off the project, passed over for the promotion, falling sick, losing the election, sidelined by the kid who doesn't seem to need you anymore. You might find yourself holding a baby instead of a briefcase and fearing that your colleagues are getting ahead and leaving you behind. Here's what's important. You are allowed to be disappointed when it feels like life has benched you. What you aren't allowed to do is miss your opportunity to lead from the bench. If you're not a leader on the bench, don't call yourself a leader on the field. You're either a leader everywhere or nowhere. She continues to say of leadership, it's creating boundaries that prove to the world that you value yourself. Leadership is taking care of yourself and empowering others to do the same. Leadership is not a position to earn. It is an inherent power to claim. Leadership is the blood that runs through your veins. It's born in you. It's not the privilege of a few. It is the right and responsibility of all. Leader is not a title that the world gives to you. It is an offering that you give to the world. And when I read that, I had to put the book down and just stare blankly out the window for a solid 37 minutes and then picked it back up and read it again. You know, this idea that leadership has got nothing to do with how many people you tell what to do. Leadership is about how you rock up. Leadership is about asserting boundaries for yourself. It's about having standards. It's about cheering on your fellow man or woman despite circumstances. And it was such a powerful message for me and a real moment for me to sort of just sit and reflect and ask myself, how many times have I not taken the chance to lead because I didn't see myself as a leader, because I thought that circumstances were dictating to me what leadership was? They're not. Every single moment of every single day, I lead myself and I lead by demonstration. And in the leading of demonstration, I get to empower other people around me. You know, that's a really powerful place to be standing in, because it means that when I'm in that space, when I think about it that way, I get to always ask myself, Am I demonstrating the best version of me today? Am I inspiring somebody else to demonstrate the best parts of them today? Leadership isn't about getting it right. It's not about running out onto the field with people running behind you. It's about championing other people and understanding that you are always in that position of leadership, despite outside circumstance, despite what other experiences or excuses or other people are doing around you. How well do you lead from the bench? Because that's true leadership. Any fucker can lead from the field, right? It's the people who are willing to stand up and scream and support and love and champion from the bench. And shortly after reading Wolfpack by Abby Wambach, I was scrolling through social media and somebody, we'll call her Janet, not her real name, but old Janet had written this post on Facebook, which went something along the lines of, God, you really find out who your friends are when your chips are down. And I thought to myself, fucking hell, Janet. Wow, Janet has been benched and Janet is pissed off about it. So Janet does not feel like she's in a position of leadership anymore. And what's happening is that Janet is now projecting that feeling of being out of control and blaming the rest of her team for it. And actually, I think it goes one step further than that, because this kind of like misconception that Janet has that, you know, you really find out who your friends are when you're sitting on the bench sulking like a little bitch. That's someone at the front door. Give me 2 seconds. All right, I'm back. I don't think that the measure of a really great friendship is somebody who's going to sit on the bench with you and condone your sulky behavior. I actually think the test of a really great friendship is when someone can be benched themselves and will sit there and fucking cheerlead the crap out of you as you run onto the field and score the winning goal. That is leadership. And that is what Abby Wambach really beautifully explains in that lesson, lesson 3 of Wolfpack. The second lesson that I want to pick up on that really resonated with me, that kind of leads on from that, is lesson 5, which is to champion each other. And again, because she's written this so beautifully, I'm just going to use her words to explain this one to you. Championing each other can be difficult for women because for so long we have been pitted against each other for the token seat at the table. Maintaining the illusion of scarcity is how power keeps women competing for the singular seat at the old table instead of uniting and building a new, bigger table. Scarcity has been planted inside of us and among us. This is not our fault, but it is our problem to solve. It's just so powerful, such a powerful concept that we as women have been so restricted in our ability to achieve and our ability to be in those positions of perceived leadership, like traditional leadership roles, that it's meant that we have had to compete with each other for precious space, which has put us in this feeling of lack and feeling of competitiveness and feeling like we're not good enough. And this got me thinking about what I see time and time again with my clients when they first come to work with me, is this compulsion to be in comparison. And how detrimental that is, not just to our own individual success, but to our success as a group of women, as a cohort, as a population, as a global entity. When we sit in comparison with each other, we forget to shine in our own brilliance. We forget to lead from the bench or from the field, because we are constantly telling ourselves that we're not good enough when we're in comparison. And if we're telling ourselves that we're not good enough, how the fuck can we be leaders? And if we're not being leaders, we are sitting on the bench and sulking like fucking Janet. I mean, Janet, stop fucking sulking and start leading. And that doesn't mean that life is always going to promote you off the bench, but it does mean that your time on the bench is all of a sudden going to feel less scarce and less lonely and less fucking depressive. And so I think it's really worth me just running through what rules I have in place with my own brain around comparison. If you're anything like me, your first thought in the morning is often one of, oh, holy fuck. We wake up instantly feeling like we're in lack. Not enough sleep, not enough time, not enough. We scroll through social media and feel not enough.
We think about our day ahead and feel underprepared, uninspired, or overwhelmed. What if we're not enough? Before we're even out of bed, our mind is telling us all sorts of crazy stories, and these stories set the precedent for our day and have a huge effect on our results. Imagine if you could start your day with a different thought. Imagine waking up to a daily reminder of the greatness that lies within you. Imagine having your own personal and funny cheerleader inspiring you every single day. Imagine your first waking thought being one of abundance and purpose. Well, imagine no longer, my friend, because now you can wake up with M. Wake Up with M is a text message service for women who are ready to wake up to their power, purpose, and passion. A daily motivational message from me personally to get you smiling into your day and vibing high from the moment you wake up, and all for less than the price of a couple of lattes a month. And even better, you get the first month completely for free. Because, well, you know, you might actually find it really annoying to have a daily reminder that you're amazing and capable and awesome. Head to emilychaborn.com/wakeup or check out the link in the show notes below.
Good morning, you're awesome.
So here they are, my seven rules, if you like, that I make with myself when it comes to comparison, because it's so easy to compare ourselves to other people, and especially in this world of social media where you can kind of look at somebody else's life and make such presumptions, and where people can display and promote such slivers of their lives. And this brings me to the first rule, which is the thing that I have to remind myself, which is that my brain fills in blanks. So I can be looking at somebody's profile on Instagram and I can see them hashtag living their best life. And what my brain does is takes all of the void, all of the bits that I don't know, all of the information I haven't been given, and it completely and totally makes shit up. It's like, oh, look, there's that person in a cafe and walking by the beach. And all of a sudden, they're living this fairy tale life. They've got an abundance of money. They're going on holiday tomorrow. They're going home to have really great sex and to play with their really beautiful puppy. None of that is necessarily evident to me. It's just my interpretation. It's what my brain is telling me. You know, our brains are very powerful, powerful beings. Beings? Can I call a brain a being? Fuck it, done it now. Our brains are very powerful mechanisms, but they're also exceptionally efficient. And in being efficient, they're kind of fucking lazy. And what I mean by this is they will presume and assume to make sense of something. If you're walking along the beach and you're having brunch and you've got a cute little puppy and you're talking about a holiday to Bali, you must be a millionaire. You must be happy. Now, that is just my brain looking like piecing together a jigsaw puzzle without any comprehension of what the bigger picture looks like. So my brain is always filling in blanks. I presume a lot about people. What you see on other people's social media is mostly what you are making up, right? You can look at my social media and you can make huge presumptions about my life that may very well not be true. You may look at my social media and be like, oh, Em's always happy. She's always reflective. She's always got her shit together. Let me tell you right now, hashtag unashamedly human, not true. A lot of the time life is clunky and hard for me because I'm a human being. And it's so easy in the modern world of social media and marketing, especially because everybody seems to be selling the entrepreneurial dream at the moment. It's really easy for our brains just to fill in blanks. So just remember that. Lesson one, when you are in the comparison of another human being, what do you actually know and what are you presuming? The second thing is that your superpower is you. And I have to remind myself of this on a regular basis. My superpower is me, and that means that nobody else can have my superpower because nobody else is me. And if you're in a place right now where you're like, oh, me? That's not a superpower. I'm a bit shit. Then I encourage you and implore you not to sit on the bench and sulk about that, but to get on the training field and learn how to love yourself, learn how to like yourself, learn how to see the best bits of you. And that is a process, you know, that's a skill. It's a skill to learn to love yourself. It is a skill to learn to like yourself. It is a skill to uncover your hidden talents, which up until now you might have dismissed, you might not even know about, you might have been told are the things that you shouldn't love about yourself. You can come back to yourself at any given time, but you have to make the commitment to do that. So you have every superpower that you need right now. You don't need to be in comparison to anybody else because you are fucking fabulous as you are right now. And if you can't see that, you cannot sit there on the bench waiting for somebody else to come over and give that to you. You have to go out and you have to find that for yourself. You have to invest in yourself. You have to put down the external trappings of this world that you think might make you happy. And you have to do the internal fucking work. And I get really fucking frustrated when I see people sitting there being like, yeah, but I don't have any self-love or any self-worth. Like you've been denied it. Welcome to being a fucking human being. You have to go and you have to learn that. You have to develop that. And when you do, when you're prepared to do that for yourself, my God, everything changes. The third thing is I always remind myself when I get into that sort of comparison wormhole is that comparison is my ego keeping me safe. Comparison is one of the beautiful, elegant ways that my brain manages to keep me doing the same thing. Because when I'm in comparison with somebody else, when I look at somebody else, when I look at another mindset coach or another entrepreneur, and I'm like, oh my God, look, they're doing all of these things that I'm not doing. Their podcast is better than mine. They've written 4 books. I haven't even finished my first one yet. I'm a completely worthless piece of shit. Because I do, because I'm human. When that happens, I always say to myself, is this real? Is this story that you're telling yourself real? Or is this an elegant trapping of your ego to try and keep you safe? Because when I'm in comparison, I want to give up. When I'm in comparison of another mindset coach, of another entrepreneur, of another goddamn woman, when I look at somebody else, I'm like, I'm never going to be that pretty. So where's the point? When I'm there, all I want to do is retreat and hide. And that is what my ego wants me to do. Because while I'm retreating, while I'm hiding, I'm in no danger of changing. And my ego doesn't want me to change. My ego wants me to stay where I am. It wants me to stay safe. And I unpack that. If that concept's a bit, what does she mean? Like, that's the kind of shit that I unpack with my clients. Because the more that you know what your brain is doing, what your ego is doing, what your soul is doing, and I believe they're three different things, that's when we can start really working out, okay, which voice do I need to listen to here? Is this real? Is this true? Is this a safety mechanism that's coming back again and again and again? Because fundamentally underneath this, I'm scared of success, or I'm scared of change, or insert whatever fear it is here. The fourth thing is that I always have to remind myself that I'm not the only person that's in comparison. Everybody else is in comparison as well. And there will always be greater and lesser persons than me. And I know full well that maybe someone out there is comparing themselves to my perceived success. And so, you know, there is no scale, there's no hierarchy here. We're all just bumbling along doing the best that we can. And I find it quite funny, really, when I hear of people who look at me and feel like they are not as successful as I am, because I don't feel as successful as the people I compare myself to, and those people don't feel as successful as the people they compare themselves to. You know, there will always be someone who's more successful than you, and there will always be someone who's not as successful as you. And those sort of positions, if you like, move and change, and they're so subjective and they're so contextual that it kind of becomes completely and totally and utterly irrelevant. So you're not the only person that feels like you're not good enough. Everybody feels like that. That puts us all on a level playing field, despite our material success. The fifth thing is that be really fucking fierce. And I have to remind myself of this. I unfollow people all the time. I have to be really fierce about the people I follow on social media, about what I watch on television, and about who I hang out with. Because if I am not in a team of people who are championing me in my success and who are supporting me when I'm on the field from the bench, then fuck, I'm always going to be in comparison. So I surround myself with people purposefully, and this is one of the things that I know I do exceptionally well for my clients through Next Level Results. I create an environment where it does not matter what you have. It matters who you are. And my friends don't give a fuck what I have. They care about who I am. And that is really important for my spiritual success, for my mental health, and for my emotional well-being. It does not matter what you have. It matters who you are. If you are not in an environment and in a community of people who are preaching that message, who are coming from that space, then you are hanging out with people or listening to people who are getting their own fucking kicks from you being lesser than them. They're not good people. Stop hanging out with them. Stop following them on Facebook. Unfollow them on Instagram. Why the fuck are you following some kind of fitness model who drinks half a green smoothie a week and then comparing yourself to her? That is not a way. That's not hashtag inspo. That is hashtag devastating. It doesn't matter what you look like. It matters who you are. And if you love who you are likely to make good, healthy choices about what you feed your body and about how much you move your body and about how much you care about the physical vessel that you've been blessed with. So unfollow those people, check who you are hanging out with. And if you don't have one of those communities, then feel free to join my free one. It's called That Crazy Thing Called Life. It's a Facebook group. Again, these are just women who are more concerned with who they are rather than what they have. And the more that you like who you are, the more you fall in love with who you are, the more abundant you will feel. Therefore, the more abundance you will attract. And the irony being, you will have more at the other side of that. And this leads me on to number six, which is that you've got to choose abundance over scarcity. If you are not in an abundance mindset, then you will always be in comparison. You will always feel like you don't have enough. Even when you get more, it will never be enough. You know, you'll always be in the hunger. You'll always be in the desperation. You'll always be in the like icky desire for more, as opposed to being really content with what you have and therefore being able to attract even more of it. And gratitude is one of the best ways to go with this. Like, throw some gratitude around your life on a daily basis. You'll get bored of me saying gratitude, gratitude, gratitude. But the reason I preach it is because it works. There is not anybody out there who is in a genuine state of abundance who does not practice gratitude. And if the circumstances that you have in your life right now are in scarcity, then you need to learn the mindset techniques and hacks to be able to lift yourself up out of those circumstances. And that is something that I teach my clients to do through Next Level Results, is I teach them how not to accept their current circumstances as given, how to raise themselves out of those current circumstances so that they can see their truth despite external forces, so that they can bring themselves to a vibrational frequency of abundance, which means that all of a sudden, that comparison, that desperation, that need, that feeling like you're always in lack completely dissipates. And once that dissipates, you're then in the vibrational frequency to attract what it is that you desire and what it is that you want. And then number seven, and this one's really kind of key, I think, is that you need to start asking yourself, what makes me happy? Not what makes other people happy, because I'm telling you right now that if I drank half a green smoothie a week so that I could have hashtag inspo fitness's body, then I wouldn't be happy. And quite often, what we think is going to make us happy actually doesn't. And this reminds me of an article I read, I think it was published in late May in the New York Times by A.C. Shilton. And it's about happiness and what is called arrival fallacy. And arrival fallacy, very simply, is the illusion that once we make it, once we attain a goal or reach a destination, so once we lose the weight, once we get the money, once we bought the house, once we have the boyfriend, then we will reach a lasting happiness. And so often we just assume, you know, once I've got a certain amount of following, once there's a certain amount of money in the bank, once I have attained this job, once I've got the promotion, that I will instantly feel content and worthy and I will no longer be in comparison of somebody else. But the reality of the situation is there's always going to be somebody else who's doing better than us, right? There's always going to be the next stage. There's always going to be the next zero that we can tack on. There's always going to be another house we can have. There's always going to be another car. There's always going to be a thinner waistline. There's always going to be a bigger ass, whatever it is. There is always going to be what you are not. And one of the most dangerous things that I observe is this illusion that the more that we have, the happier that we will be. If I can have what she has, I will feel more worthy. And I just want to lift a couple of paragraphs directly from this article in the New York Times. Dr. Jamie Grumman talks about effective forecasting, our ability to predict how an event is going to make us feel. And these are the words that he says about that. There's no joy in living in squalor, but after basic needs like food security and clean housing are met, income stops correlating with happiness. The number one predictor of happiness, he said, is the quality time we spend with people we care about and who care about us. In other words, relationships. And again, that brings me back to this idea of Janet sitting sulking on the bench, expecting people to come and sulk with her. Like, find the people who are going to champion you from the bench, who are going to lead you on the field, and who are going to revel in your success and genuinely, genuinely want to help you rise up to be the best version of you. And if you're surrounding yourself with those people, you will never be in comparison because you will always be enough. And if you're looking for that community, feel free to join my free Facebook group, That Crazy Thing Called Life. If you know that you've got some real work to do and you're really ready to commit to yourself, then get in touch with me and my team at info@emilychabon.com, and I can give you a little bit more information about Next Level Results, which is my 6-month coaching program, which is transformative for my clients. Okay, just going to leave you with my little hashtag unashamedly human moment here. This one is actually lifted directly from one of my little life lessons. So if you follow me on Instagram, Emily_thatcrazythingcalledlife, every day in my Insta stories, I give you a little life lesson from the day before. It's normally funny and quirky and quite cute, but quite often really insightful and really useful. So my unashamedly human moment was leaving the house without my wallet and then finding myself trapped in the most ridiculously priced car park in the city after a speaking gig last night. And luckily, I had been really nice to the car park attendant, even though when I parked the car, I was borderline late and quite, what's the word? Panicky. I'm going to say the word panicky. Hashtag unashamedly human. I was like, fuck, 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 fuck. Really fucking late. Fuck, fuck, fuck. I had heels on. You know, I was like sweating on the inside, a little bit nervous about doing this speaking gig. So I just like threw my car in the nearest car park I could find, which was extortionately expensive. And the car park attendant wanted to come over and have like a really nice chat with me. The real bitch part of me just wanted to scream in his face and tell him to fuck off. But luckily, my spirit, my soul, the compassionate part of me reminded me that it was not his fault that I was late, nor was it his fault that the car park was so extortionately priced. And so I was polite and kind, and we had a bit of banter before I ran off. And because of that, when I came back to get my car out later that night and realized I didn't have my wallet, that very generous, very lovely man allowed me out of the car park for free. So that was my unashamedly human moment, but also a real life lesson in what you often get back from the universe when you lead with love. And I don't think you should lead with love in order to get back from the universe, but quite often it does come back to you tenfold. So I would love to know what your little unashamedly human moments are. Please let me know. You know, I think talking of comparison, it's really easy for us only ever to present the best bits of ourselves or the polished bits or the perfect bits. But the reality is we're all messy, we're all scrappy, we're all clunking along and getting it wrong. And quite often those moments are hilarious. So feel free to share them with me. Email me at info@emilychabon.com. They will remain anonymous, I promise you. If you've had a couple of unashamedly human moments, which you think other people will love to hear about too, then feel free to share them. Thank you all very much for listening. Please, if you have loved this podcast, feel free to share it with the rest of your team. And remember to lead from a place of love and compassion. And always remember that comparison is a fool's game.